me now summarize the invasion situation as it stands at this time, some 6 hours after we had the first news that it was underway. We have landed on 2 points of the Normandy coast between Cherbourg and Le Havre, and we have established ourselves on those beachheads successfully. From those 2 points, our troops have succeeded in marching inland. That is the test of a successful beachhead. The fact that the troops that have landed there can proceed from their original landing point and make their way inland. You will remember at Dieppe, we never succeeded in getting inland at all. We landed, but were forced to go back. Here, we have landed successfully. We have made landings at other points also, but so far as we know, we are marching inland from 2 points only. We have word that we have taken 2 Channel Islands, Guernsey and Jersey. They are important for later operations. The chances are that we will establish airfields there for further development of the operation. Marshal Pétain has just broadcast over the Nazi-controlled Paris radio, appealing to the French people not to aggravate our misfortunes by acts which would bring upon you tragic reprisals. The Marshal's voice has long ceased to have any power with the French people. The voice to which they listened today was that of General Eisenhower, telling them what lay ahead. We know that there has been a naval battle in the estuary of the Seine River. That naval battle, according to German reports, we have won. The Germans also tell us that there is heavy fighting at Caen. That is a matter of 20-odd miles inland in Normandy. It is an important railroad center where our paratroops landed and where they are now defending the points which they seized. London tells us that German destroyers and E-boats, that's motor torpedo boats, were reported to be entering the Allied operational area off the coast of France. That means that we are following up this initial success in the Seine estuary. There was a heavy bombardment. There was a heavy bombardment of the British Channel coast across the Straits of Dover. That bombardment lasted for 45 minutes. Immediately after it began, Allied bombers escorted by fighters took off from British bases and winged their way across. And within a few minutes after their arrival over French soil, the bombardment ceased. There is every indication that everywhere along the French coast we met less opposition than we had expected. The obstacles encountered were less severe than we had supposed. The initial landings have been successfully completed. We have landed at least 60,000 paratroopers, British and American, at various points in Normandy. Undoubtedly, according to what we have heard so far, they are holding their positions. The initial phase of the invasion has been successful. That, of course, is the initial stage. The Germans will now bring up reinforcements, and the real struggle will begin. But every Allied leader is satisfied with the progress made so far.
The National Broadcasting Company, continuing our complete coverage of the invasion news, takes you now to the NBC newsroom in Washington.
And this is Richard Harkness in our nation's capital. If I had only one word to describe Washington this historic D-Day morning, that word would be that our nation's capital is confident. There is a feeling here that now the invasion is underway, it will succeed. But before the day is out, we undoubtedly will have some word direct from President Roosevelt. The President is scheduled to hold his regular press and radio conference this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And, of course, Mr. Roosevelt will undoubtedly comment on the progress of the invasion. Well, certainly, that word, confident, describes the mood of President Roosevelt last night, only a few hours before our invasion of Hitler's Fortress Europe was formally announced. As you know, Mr. Roosevelt broadcast last night on the liberation of Rome. Well, as commander-in-chief, the President certainly knew what was coming in Europe before the night was over. But as he sat in the White House waiting to broadcast, He gave no hint to the little personal crowd which jammed into his broadcasting room. Mr. Roosevelt was surrounded by his family. Mrs. Roosevelt is in Washington. And so are the president's two grandchildren, Sissy and Buzzy. His daughter, Mrs. Anna Bodiger, and his son-in-law, Major John Bodiger. Well, the president was in an unusually good humor. He joked with the network announcers and engineers. The president drew a big laugh when he threatened to mention Anthony Muto, Tony Muto, a newsreel man of Italian descent, along with Christopher Columbus, Marconi, and other prominent Italians who have contributed to world progress. So the president, obviously, was confident of the outcome of this mighty Allied invasion. He even slept through the early hours of the attack. Well, another person who knew what was coming was General George C. Marshall, the chief of staff. Well, General Marshall was the honored guest last evening at the Russian embassy, where he received one of the highest military decorations the Soviet can give. Well, it can be told now that the general puzzled an imposing list of dignitaries when he declined to wait for the customary buffet supper, which incidentally is very good at the Russian embassy. But the answer came within a few hours when General Eisenhower's headquarters announced the invasion, and now everyone knows why General Marshall went home early last night. Well, then Secretary of War Henry L. Stimson set an example of confidence. He stayed at home during the small hours of the morning when the news was being flashed all over the world. As you recall, Mr. Stimson had told a news conference days ago that we won't start the invasion until we are sure of its success. Well, meanwhile, the House will meet at 11 o'clock Eastern Wartime this morning to consider the price control extension bill, and the Senate will meet at noon to work on the same subject. But it is quite likely that most of our representatives, our senators too, will spend their time in the cloakrooms with their ears glued to the radio for the latest invasion bulletins. Well, Washington, of course, is an international city. There is a little bit of England here at the British Embassy. There's a little bit of France, for instance, at the French legation. The British ambassador, the tall, gaunt Lord Halifax, is the first diplomat to make a direct statement on the invasion. Lord Halifax says that he has no doubt that we will have very tough fighting on the continent of Europe. But Lord Halifax goes on to say that we all have complete confidence in General Eisenhower, complete confidence in his deputy commanders, and complete confidence in all our Allied troops.
Film, which quotes the German DNB agency, is broadcasting a report that Allied tanks have penetrated several kilometers into France. That looks as if we are deepening our bridgehead, as if we have begun to go places in France. And here's one that quotes the German Transocean Agency as broadcasting the claim that almost 80 medium-sized warships are approaching our beachhead in France. Now, that bulletin doesn't say what kind of warships they are. I assume they are Allied warships. And here's another bulletin from a U.S. fighter base in England, which says that Thunderbolt pilots returning from the invasion area today reported that Allied troops are piling onto the shore of France virtually with no opposition, and that the skies are practically clear of German planes. And here's another bulletin. Just a second. Here's one more bulletin. Here we are, another bulletin that says big guns on the French coast opened fire across the Strait of Dover shortly after midday today. A salvo of four shells was seen to explode. And here's another one. The German Transocean News Agency says that Allied paratroopers have landed on the islands of Jersey and Guernsey west of the Norman Peninsula. And here's another one. The German High Command, in its first invasion communique today, said Allied forces suffered very heavy reverses in the Cannes area of northern France, and it claimed that an entire regiment of paratroopers was destroyed in that sector. Our own communiques have reported only light casualties, and we mustn't put too much stock in these German claims of wiping out whole regiments. That's the usual Nazi trick. Here's another bulletin. It says that the Nazi-operated Paris radio today said that it has become clear that General Eisenhower, the supreme commander of the Allied armies, is concentrating his efforts on the capture of Cherbourg. Cherbourg, as you know, is one of the principal French ports on the English Channel. And that is the latest word just over the wire on this mammoth military operation. Bulletin by bulletin, report by report, the big story is being built up. For many months, we've been perfecting our plans here at NBC for covering this biggest of all war stories. Expeditionary Force Headquarters, the first bulletin of the greatest invasion in the history of the world, and this is the way it read. Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France. That is a communique which will echo down through the corridors of time. That is communique number one announcing the Allied invasion of Western Europe, of Hitler's fortified continent. Now, for those 6 hours since that bulletin came out, NBC has been giving you, without interruption, news, bulletins, interviews, eyewitness accounts, every conceivable kind of coverage of this, as we newsmen believe it to be, the greatest news story in the history of warfare. For 6 hours, we have been going on here without interruption. Some of us have made 20 and 30 broadcasts to you already. We're going to continue to give you that coverage without any interruption, without any commercial announcements, without anything, but perhaps a little music later in the day occasionally, but nothing but news. We feel this is what you want because millions of American boys are over there taking part in this operation. Your neighbor's boy, maybe your own boy, your husband, is over there. And so we know how vitally interested all of America is, and the National Broadcasting Company is determined to give you every word of news that we can get from that front. From
Allied attack in France. The Berlin radio, monitored by NBC, today broadcast that the extent of the attack in the areas employed is a large-scale operation. And that the Allied Supreme Command, say the Germans, wants to use the river estuaries of the Seine and Orne rivers to land our heavy armor. That's an indication from the Germans themselves that the invasion is going ahead according to plan and on a very large scale. And here's another bulletin. The German DNB News Agency has broadcast today that the 28th and 101st American Parachute Divisions had been dropped in the Normandy Peninsula area of France. The Nazis claim that many have been taken prisoner. Here is the first report in any detail, and it comes, we remind you, from an enemy source regarding these paratroopers and airborne troops which have been dropped behind the German lines in France. One question which now is going to cause a great deal of attention is the part which the French underground, the French patriots, may do to help these paratroopers, these airborne infantrymen. The French people have been warned to get back from the coast. But the plans of the French underground can now be realized. We have yet to get anything like a detailed report from Allied sources on what's happened to our parachute troops, how much resistance they've encountered, to what extent they've been able to consolidate the positions they've already gained. One thing is certain. The Germans will make every effort to encircle these paratroopers and airborne infantrymen, for they are a real threat to German communications. However, these airborne Allied troops are going to have the assistance of the French underground. In fact, some of the most carefully made plans of this invasion are going to be involved in the cooperation, the very close and direct cooperation between the French patriots and the Allied soldiers who are now are fighting behind the German lines. For Allied strategy is taking a form which the German commanders fear greatly. Not only must they consider frontal attack, not only must they consider the steady mounting impact of Allied air bombing, they also must consider the fact that their lines may be turned. They must also consider the fact that a threat from the rear can at any time cause them to be encircled. They must consider the fact that as their communications are destroyed, one field commander will have very little idea of what another field commander to his right or his left is engaged in his fundamental strategy. The German Transocean News Agency has another report. It is that about 80 medium-sized Allied warships are approaching the town of Wistram in the estuary of the Orne River. Here's another indication of the extent to which our naval forces now are being utilized in this great final attack on the German continent.